Fearless.
Founding 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 Fearless.
Welcome to the Founding Fearless podcast. We are your hosts, Sydney Key
and Priscilla Olivares,
and we're here to support you through your journey in becoming a fearless leader and discovering your inner confidence.
We are talking about all things entrepreneurial through a college woman's lens. We hope to leave you feeling empowered after each episode. Welcome back to another episode of the Founding Fearless podcast, season 2.
Today, we have Olivia Brady here with us, a 2020 graduate from the University of Texas at Austin. She graduated with a BS in advertising from the Moody College of Communications and is now a business owner located in Houston, Texas.
Olivia Brady is the co-founder and designer behind Saturday Silks, a game day silk scarf brand that merges the elements of Texan roots and traditions. A lot goes into making these scarves, and Olivia is the artist behind it. She hand-illustrates each element and ranges them into show-stopping designs. Her graphic design skills extend past our products, too, and into our packaging, website, and social media. Olivia is also the liaison for all of our retail partners throughout the country and coordinates the sale, packaging, and fulfillment of all orders.
Welcome to the Founding Fearless podcast, Olivia. We're so excited to have you. Thank you so much for coming.
Hello. Thank you.
Okay, so first, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, where did you go to school and what is your business?
Awesome. I went to school at UT and I'm from Houston, Texas. I started my business literally like as I was graduating college. Well, the idea at least came to us that I'd do this business with my mom and my aunt. So it's family run. I just remember getting a call from my mom one day in my senior year, and my mom kind of had this idea of, you know, we need to create something that is elevated game day apparel and accessories, and just kind of like went from there. And I actually spent, so COVID happened my senior year, and during like March 15th, like pandemic, you know, quarantine stage. Like that's when I first started designing my first scarf, which was the UT scarf. And, you know, I iterated on that for several months. And by the end of 2020, we had launched it for sale and just been growing it ever since, adding new schools. We have about 15 schools right now, all officially licensed merchandise. And, we're hoping to double that this year. So it's really exciting, really fun to work with my mom and my aunt. And I'm really excited to see where this business takes us.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So before you came the co-founder of Saturday Silks, you were still like in college, about to be fresh out of college. What made you decide to go towards the entrepreneurial path instead of getting a normal like 9-to-5 job when you graduate?
Yeah. So growing up, both my parents had their own businesses, both my mom and my dad. My dad owns his own marketing agency, and my mom owns her own promotional products company. And also my brother owns his own company, too. So just
in
like
the family.
Yeah, if you could say it was in the blood.
Yeah.
So I always kind of knew that something like that was achievable for me because I had great role models. But I definitely didn't think that I was going to be doing it right out of college. And I didn't. So while I was growing Saturday Silks for about 2 years, I worked a 9-to-5 also. So I was hustling. I worked really hard, and it was probably the hardest time of my life balancing that. But again, I had a great support system with my parents, and I am now full-time with Saturday Silks. So it's just a great, you know, achievement.
And so growing up and even during your education at UT, did you always know you wanted to pursue in the fashion industry and create apparel, or where did that come from?
Not really. I just, you know, we're girls, we love cute things, and that's something that I was always gravitated towards. So I think it just like came naturally that that's the thing that stuck. And it makes it really easy to love the business when you like get to something that you're interested in, that you can share that passion with others and things.
Yeah. And so do you take a lot of the advertising kind of things that you learned from your education into growing and scaling it?
Yeah, definitely lots of things that I learned in coursework. But mainly, honestly, this is kind of silly, but I was also the president of my sorority at UT. Mm-hmm. So honestly, like being president of a sorority felt like I was running my own business. Yeah. So I like to say that maybe that experience, you know, gave me a lot more skills that I now apply in running my own business.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I like that. And so as a designer, and having a unique style is really common between designers, could you walk us through your creative process? What inspires and guides the new designs that you make and kind of how you format it from the beginning?
I definitely knew that it was important when creating my designs, or when I was, you know, first thinking of the idea. I knew that it was important to define a style, because as I was trying to think ahead, and, you know, in 5 years, when someone sees a scarf, I wanted people to be able to know that that was a Saturday Silks scarf, without necessarily seeing the Saturday Silks label. Yeah. So I definitely spent a while iterating on illustration styles and just arrangements and figuring out something that was unique, but also like scalable upon, and that could be repeated over and over. So now, like, our scarves feature like a four-corner semi-symmetrical design that is repeated from school to school, and our twillies kind of, you know, mimic the same motifs. And I actually had a customer, I was working a market, and I had a customer come up to me and ask, like, well, how do I know that it's a Saturday Silks twilly? Like, if I see one, I'm like, well, they all kind of look like this. So it's, you know, I'm trying to define a style, a design that is going to be forever recognizable.
Yeah.
And so where did the, I was looking at your website, and you have the little, like, Texas letters, or you have the scarf ring. Like, where did those come from? Did you want to just accessorize the scarves, basically, and just implemented that?
Yeah. So Hermes has always done, like, scarf rings and scarf sliders. And obviously we get a ton of inspiration by luxury designers, luxury fashion houses. And we wanted, it honestly started as a way to upsell the product.
Yeah.
Like, what's a little thing that someone can add on if they're trying to meet, like, a $50 gift or a $60 gift. So we designed the twilly ring, which is, you know, unique to Saturday Silks that doesn't exist anywhere else. We then designed, like, scarf rings and little sliders, and we have an alphabet of letters that people, you know, put their, slide their monograms on, or slide different sayings on for hat bands. And it's just a really cute way to uplift the look.
Yeah, yeah. And so from your time at UT and even growing up in Houston, did you see the, I guess, game day? It was mainly for game day. So you saw a lot of lack of what cute, wearable fashion for game day.
Yeah.
I'm guessing also in your sorority too, that helped, like, seeing girls struggling with finding an outfit, a cute outfit for game day, and being able to express, you know, the school spirit. So is that where it came from?
Yes, definitely. Like, when my mom called me with the idea, it came from, you know, nothing like this exists. We saw a break in the market for, like, game day apparel, but also, like, high-end heirloom quality game day apparel, something that you're going to want to pass on for generations and, like, always keep in your closet. We're not creating, like, t-shirts or, you know, ball caps.
Yeah.
Like, this is something that, you know, holds sentimental value.
Yeah. Which I know I always struggle with finding game day outfits. I am so bad at finding game day outfits, because there's not a lot of websites that put out burnt orange things, and especially the right burnt orange color too.
Right.
So finding the right one, finding good quality, and I think with scarves, you can wear it so many different ways.
Yes.
Like, y'all in the marketing pictures, you have it as the top, you have it in the hair, you have it wrapped around the cowboy hat, like anything. So there's so many different ways that you can, I guess, also market it as well.
Yes. That's my favorite part, when, you know, explain to people, well, like, how do I wear this or what do I do with it? I'm like, oh, well, let me show you.
And there's like 500 different ways.
And I'm like, and you can probably like think of more. Like, this is kind of a never ending thing that you can just have fun with and get creative with.
Especially with the little accessories.
Yes.
Yeah. For sure.
Have you seen your style change? Since, like, do you wear a lot of the Saturday silks, I'm sure?
Oh, yes. Yeah. All the time. I'm a scarf girl. and, yeah, I mean, I would say that my style, like, I'm definitely, like, when I'm shopping, I'm like, oh, okay, this would look cute with the SMU scarf.
Yeah.
Or, like, I need to get this for that. But for the most part, like, my style is pretty much, like, embedded throughout our products. And it's kind of fun to do that.
And so bootstrapping your business, it always involves a lot of resources and creative problem solving that I'm sure you've had to go through. What were some of the challenges that you first faced in the early stages of growing Saturday Silks?
I mean, our biggest challenge was how are we going to, you know, pay for our first inventory run? You know, I was started it with my mom and my aunt, so I had their backing and their support. And so our first inventory run was going to be like $500. And I just graduated college, like, I don't have that money. And my mom didn't want to start off on the foot of, like, funding the business. So I went around in our attic and I found some American Girl doll books. And I sold them on eBay for $100 a pop. And good made the money.
Yeah.
So if you have those American Girl doll book sets,
literally let me look in the attic real quick.
Sell them. And that's how we funded it. And from then on, we just kind of, like, you know, reuse the money that we got and all of our profit. We did that for about 2 years.
Wow.
And so everything that we made just went straight back into the business.
Yeah, that's awesome. Could you talk a little bit about, like, scaling your business? Like, what did it look like at the very beginning, you selling your American Girl doll books to then, like, be able to fund it? And then kind of after that, did it slowly, steadily start growing? Or was there, like, a few dips within there?
It was definitely very slow. The hardest part that we've encountered is everything is officially licensed. So that means that we have to go through, I have to design, you know, obviously the designs. And then I have to go through rounds of approvals with the universities themselves. And everyone is on their own timeline. And so a lot of that is out of our control. So in our first year, we had only, you know, started with UT. And then by the end of 2021, a year later, we had only added three more schools. And it definitely was hard, but that's, like, all we could do. Like, as a growing business, universities kind of, like, weren't really on board with the idea, or, like, oh, they see, like, oh, they're new, they only have two products, like, no, we're not gonna like, pay attention to them. But as we have added more schools, it's become a quicker and quicker process. And it's just a natural way to scale the business. Like, the more schools we add, that's a whole new target audience, a whole new range of customers that we can, you know, impact.
And so what is, you kind of touched on it earlier, but the, that it's you, your mom, and your aunt in the business. What is that dynamic like? Do y'all have different strengths in the business and scaling it and different operational?
Yes, for sure. That's one of my biggest, like, things that I think has made us successful is each one of us have differing skills. Like, we all are very much similar people, and we're very like-minded, and, like, we can read each other's minds, but we all have different strengths. Like, I'm very design-focused, marketing-focused, because that's what I grew up doing. That's what I went to school for. My mom has a law degree. She also has a finance degree. So she runs our operations and handles the finances. She also does all of our licensing reports. And then my aunt has a 20-plus years in the fashion industry, had her own silk pajama bed linen line. And so she's on board for all of our, like, new product production and just manufacturing.
I love that. And I feel like y'all all hit the major parts of a fashion business. And so I know a lot of people, if they want to create a business in the apparel industry, and especially I do as a fashion major, it's like, where did you find the right manufacturer, the right production site when you were creating the business? Was it because your aunt already kind of knew the business and knew the right people and the right connections? I'm always curious on how people find the production area, because that's a scary area to touch.
Yes, it's definitely, like, there's so much unknown in that. But it was definitely because of Annalise. Like, she knew exactly who to put us in contact with and who, and, like, what kind of quality to ask for. And, you know, she's like, you need to make sure that the scarves have a hand-rolled edge. Okay. Like, I wouldn't have known to ask for that.
Yeah.
It's just a sign of, you know, creates a fine polished look on the scarves. And, but people will ask me that. And obviously, like, I have a, you know, uncommon story that my aunt's on board and she just, like, knows how to do that. But, I mean, just start, like, asking questions around. Ask fellow business owners or people that you look up to. Not necessarily people in the, like, field or idea that you're trying to create, but most likely someone will know someone, or and that someone will know of someone that can help you or put you in touch with a manufacturer.
Kind of going back to licensing, what does that process look like to try to get licensed by a university?
It's really difficult. But it's also, like, our biggest achievement. We're so proud of it. I think it definitely sets us apart and makes us, like, we are creating, like, official game day merchandise. We had to create, like, a whole business plan, which was hard to do right at the beginning of the business. Like, we're like, oh, I don't know. I don't know where we're going to be in 5 years if we're going to be a company. And they kind of make you do that. But it was a great exercise to do as a new business. And it kind of, I got to use a lot of the knowledge that I had from school. So they make you submit that. And then it's just kind of like a waiting game. Seeing if they'll approve you. Had a few, like, lots of email exchanges, phone calls, trying to find phone numbers of people to talk to. But for every school, we have to, you know, apply for the license, wait for them to approve us. Once they approve us, I then do the design and then I submit the design for approval.
Okay.
And that's when they can go in and make sure that, you know, I've placed the logo correctly, that I've used the correct logo, that there's a registered mark, a trademark on all necessary items and wording. And then once we get the approval on that, that's when we immediately start production.
Yeah, wow. And it's funny that you talk about that, because I guess it was last semester I took a strategic brand management course, and one of the professors was the, I think he was the director of brand for University of Texas.
Cool.
And so he was showing us the entire process of licensing, and especially if a business comes and wants a licensed product. And they're showing us the full doc of what y'all have to fill out. And it is a process. It is extensive. It is a long-awaited process. And I was like, this is crazy, because I didn't even know that was a thing, honestly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just seeing that full paper, I'm like, wow, these small businesses. And any business that wants to create a licensed product, there's so much to go into it, so much approval.
Well, I mean, I appreciate it, because the schools, like, they're protecting their marks. Like, they need to have control over how their logos and, you know, trademarked phrases are displayed, because that's their identity and their brand. So I appreciate that. I also think it's, you know, fun to kind of, it's kind of a challenge to figure out how to make these old school logos cute and maybe pretty. And I always, like, love looking at all the branding documents behind each university, all their brand standards and things.
Because they have so many different logos and colors and words for different products, too. Like, they have, University of Texas has the vintage collection of the logos, which is really fun to play around with. But sometimes you want the more, you know, minimalistic and more modern look to it. And so they have to evaluate that, too, depending on what your product is when you're bringing it in.
For sure. And that's a whole separate license to get that, to use those logos.
Yeah. Because we had CLC come in and talk to us a bunch of times.
Awesome.
We did a huge project with them. So they were showing us all the nitty-gritty different things.
That's great.
Yeah.
So we know that you sell both retail and online. Mm-hmm. So first, touching on the retail aspect of it, what was the process like getting your product into different stores?
Yeah, so that process is called wholesale, and it is definitely like what has scaled our business the most. Like wholesale accounts for 60% of our revenue, and in the last 8 months has tripled our business. So if you're thinking about creating a like physical item, whether that be a fashion accessory or even like home goods or something, definitely figure out your pricing based on wholesale. And think about that. That the process was hard, but I, you know, when I was starting the business, when I was in Houston right out of college, I worked part-time at a local boutique in Houston called Renovate. And I definitely owe that experience to learning about that side of things from the store's perspective of buying products and marking them up and figuring out pricing and everything. So when we were figuring out prices for our scarves, we definitely had that in mind. Like, we need to make sure that there's a wholesale price in here.
And do y'all do trade shows?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we get most of our, we get some of our stores, our accounts through word of mouth. Like, you know, a store will post and then other stores will see and they want to get in on it. So they'll DM or email me and try and open an account. But probably half of our accounts are from our accounts that we got from trade shows or markets. So there's markets that happen in Dallas, Atlanta, New York, Vegas, all over the country, all over the world. And it's where you literally go, you set up a booth and buyers walk around the floors and write orders. And it's a really great way to get your product out there visually. Even if someone doesn't write an order, like a buyer has at least seen your product in their, you know, peripheral, or maybe they took a card or a catalog, and then they'll recognize it the next go around, or they'll recognize it out and about. And I love it because I get to meet the buyers and the owners face to face, and, you know, make that connection with them. And, you know, I keep that connection by, you know, DM on Instagram or emailing and stuff. And it's definitely, I think it creates like ownership for them behind our brand, because they then have to sell our products in their stores. And so now they can say like, oh, the owner's so cute. She's from Houston. She, you know, graduated from UT. Like, you should, you would love her products. It's a it's a great way for them to sell our product too, knowing that about us.
I used to work in a boutique in high school, and anytime the my boss or the owner would go into the trade show in Dallas, she always come back with so many connections and so many cute products, and she's like, oh, you can have that one.
Yeah.
Like, let's look at this one, and we'd all be always just be waiting for the wholesale box to come.
No, it's the most exciting part.
Always looking up the business and, like, who the owner was. It was so fun.
Yeah. It's definitely a woman-dominated realm. Yeah. Like,
it's huge.
Every, all the business owners, all the buyers are women. It's fun.
So interesting. I feel like usually for companies it's like the opposite way around, where wholesale, they may have started with that in the past, but then they move to online and they get so many more orders and like engagement online. So what was the process then deciding to open like an online shop as well?
We knew that it was always going to be online and wholesale. Because we wanted to, honestly, we can make more money selling online. Like, you know, the percentage is more. And I just knew that, you know, Instagram, shopping on Instagram, like, we needed to have our products, like, available for purchase online. But then that kind of, like, sets a whole new thing that you need to worry about. Like, who's going to be packaging these products when they're bought, you know? And so I did that for 2.5 years myself. But now we've got a team doing that. But I definitely recommend it.
And then I really like this next question. We all know that sustainability is a growing concern in the fashion industry. So how does Saturday Silks incorporate sustainable practices into producing the scarves?
I think that the concept of sustainability starts with the creation of the product. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to create a sustainable product from the beginning.
Yeah.
So with the thought that our products are, you know, long-lasting in the sense of this isn't something that you're going to throw away.
Mm-hmm.
This is something you're going to keep and you're going to pass down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to end up in a landfill,
yeah,
hopefully. And it's just something that is meant to, you know, be kept hold of.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And so looking into the future of Saturday Silks, what is, you know, the future next step of it? And also, what is the next step as a woman in entrepreneurship, too?
Definitely, it's very hard to think about what we're going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to take it day by day. But we're definitely going to be opening a warehouse soon. We're mm-hmm. growing out of our space right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to, you know, open up a little storefront with that so people can come shop
yeah.
in person.
Mm-hmm.
No idea when that's going to happen, but I think that as just a woman entrepreneur, I just hope to, you know, invokes a bit of inspiration for
mm-hmm.
someone else wanting to do something similar and provide any kind of advice for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I have going back towards, you know, creating and licensing products for the different colleges. Do you sell their products at their university store? Like, we have University Co-op.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sell them there,
mm-hmm.
depending on the college?
It depends on the college.
Okay.
If the buyer can, you know, has seen our product or can get
mm-hmm.
in touch with us or maybe has read the email that we've sent them.
Mm.
It's definitely something that we're working towards to get in each store. There is a major trade show that happens every January in Vegas, specifically for licensed products.
Okay.
And licensed goods that all of these bookstores
mm-hmm.
and university stores
yeah.
go to. And we're doing that next January. So
awesome.
After that, you know, hopefully we get
hopefully,
all those orders.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what retail stores are y'all mainly in boutiques around in Austin and Houston, or where are you at now?
We're in over 130 stores
wow.
across
wow.
like Texas and, you know, South and
mm-hmm.
probably until like Alabama.
Okay.
Just because those are the schools that we
yeah.
have. So
yeah.
it's very much a regional product. So every new school that we add, that's a new state that is going to be interested
mm-hmm.
in our stuff. Mainly, it's very much split between home goods stores and apparel
mm-hmm.
stores, which I think is really fun because
mm-hmm.
The Twillies work great in a little gifty
yeah.
decor setting, but then the scarves work great, you know, accessorized next to nice dresses or tops
yeah.
and things.
Mm-hmm.
So those
mm-hmm.
are the types of stores that you can find us in.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Are you looking to stay mostly in the South? Because that's where we see kind of like the fashion trends are very similar
the
in the
SEC.
South. Yeah. Or do you hope to move to then like encourage scarf wear in like broader America?
Yeah. Definitely in the South because that's like just natural. But
mm-hmm.
it is, we do know that very soon on the horizon, we're going to be hitting like Ohio State, Michigan, just
okay.
because they are huge conglomerates of schools
mm-hmm.
that always sell the most licensed product. And
mm-hmm.
so those are just markets that we're interested in.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of scared of it, but
you know, it's exciting,
we'll
though.
Yeah,
it's
we
exciting,
do have
yeah.
USC, University of Southern
mm-hmm.
California. And so that's been fun to
yeah.
kind of have like a, not a rando school, but
yeah,
a school
of.
That's
yeah.
different than the others that
yeah.
we have in a different
mm-hmm.
location, and it's been fun seeing those go out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I always love seeing the different fashion areas from
mm-hmm.
like girls that post on TikTok or whatever from
yes.
different colleges. I love seeing their outfits.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how much they do get dressed up for the game.
For
so.
Sure. For
yeah.
sure. The nice thing about a scarf is it's kind of, you can just wear it with whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
And it's not subject to like the weather,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you can wear it in cold and hot.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
I love it.
I also have a question on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something y'all utilize right now to really try to scale your business? Or is it something that you're looking to in the future to really try to help you? Because I know like when things go viral on TikTok, even just like a few videos could make like the online store just go crazy.
Yeah. We're mainly using Instagram right now just because
okay.
that's what I can manage.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I'm interested. I would like to do TikTok more, but I don't have the bandwidth. I also necessarily don't have the confidence to like get out there. That's the girlies that do that. That's a whole new beast. But Instagram, we're always posting and linking our products to sell, and that's where we get the most engagement and community built around our product.
Yeah. Would y'all look into hiring somebody for the TikTok area?
Yeah.
Definitely. I feel like that's a whole different world, the TikTok. I don't think I'd be able to.
It's kind of scary,
too. It's a lot. What has been one of your most favorite memorable moments in the last almost 4 years, probably, of your business?
My favorite moment was definitely when we created a custom scarf, twilly, and pocket square for the Houston Texans.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
It was so fun. It was through someone that was a customer for the store that I worked at. And so she knew of our company through that store. And she just DM'd me and was like, would you be interested? I'm like, yes.
Always.
Yeah. So we turned that around really quick for the start of the pro football season. And my favorite was just like literally walking up to NRG Stadium with my mom delivering those goods. I'm like, here you go. And I've seen like pictures of important people wearing them since. Wow. And it's been fun.
That's so exciting.
That's really cool. So have you done a lot of custom things in the past, or is it, that's really hard to scale, I guess, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Custom, we do custom, and I love doing custom because it is kind of, you know, another creative outlet. Yeah. It's kind of is, I get to do something a bit different than what I'm used to. Mm-hmm. But it definitely has a way of derailing me from, you know, our production schedule and just like the timeline that I set forth because these things come out of nowhere. But we have done custom, obviously, for the Houston Texans. And every year we do a custom scarf partnering with Christina Green Jewelry out of Houston for the Houston Rodeo.
Oh, wow.
And we've done 3 years of that. We've also done a custom scarf for a high-end spa in California. We've got some other custom works in the works.
Yeah.
We're definitely picky about who we work with and if we say yes, but it's, you know, I think it's a fun thing to do. And it's kind of a moneymaker that you know, I don't need to worry about selling the product.
Yeah. But that's so exciting that did they find you in California?
Yeah.
And contact you?
Yeah. So the owner of the spa is from Houston.
Okay.
And she had seen our scarves, our LSU scarf. She's a big LSU fan. And contacted us through that. So everything comes back to Houston, Texas.
Just Texas in general.
Yeah.
No, that's a good... It's a good little, I guess, just way to branch out. That's a cool connection.
So for aspiring entrepreneurs and business owners, what advice do you have for people looking to start their own business?
I would say definitely, like, don't ever give up on your dream. It's very easy to, when you hit a road bump, to, you know, not pursue something. And I've hit so many road bumps with this. Like, I'm always learning new things and figuring out how to pivot. But everything is workable. And, I mean, you've got this. Like, you can do anything.
Yeah, love it.
I love that. Okay, so now we're going to transition to the rapid fire section. So they're just fun and quick questions. So they say the first thing that pops into your head. So first is something no one would expect about you.
I'm honestly, like, kind of messy. But I think that people are calling it like maximalist now.
Okay.
So we're just going to go with that.
Yeah.
Maximalist. But, I'm into style. I'm into shopping. I like things, like, you know, that's just all part of the game.
Yeah.
Part of the job.
I love that. Okay. What's your morning routine?
I wake up to a cup of coffee, and I, answer emails in bed. Most of the time from emails that I've gotten from our manufacturer overnight, I just quickly respond to them, mainly because I'm so excited to hear what they're saying about our products and the works and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Love that. Okay, so the most important lesson you've learned in life?
that nothing's easy. If it's easy, then you're probably doing something wrong, mm-hmm. to be honest. It takes, you know, hard work and perseverance to do something like this,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, for sure. So this is a Founding Fearless podcast. So what does Founding Fearless mean to you?
Just not giving up on your dreams.
I love that. Okay, and last question. How do listeners get in touch with you?
Instagram, Saturday Silks. You can also email me, yeah. olivia@saturdaysilks.com. That's me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure to subscribe and follow to the Founding Fearless podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to like, rate, and leave us a review.
Founding Fearless. Founding Fearless.